So last week we shared stories of, I shared a lot of personal stories of healing in my own family, healing in my own life, healing stories that I've heard in the church. And God is still blessing his church, still blessing his people. But we read this scripture that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And then we also read the scripture that says not only by his stripes we are healed, but there's a scripture that says by his stripes we were. And I've stole this from somebody. It's been so long ago that I don't even remember who I took it from. But if we were and we are, we is. We is healed right now. And this is what I want to say too. A lot of people, I think this is what has gotten messed up in the church, is that a lot of times we are expecting a miracle. God is still in the miracle business. We still see miracles. I read an article 2 weeks ago about a man who had a brain tumor, and it was cancerous, and it disappeared. It was on the Drudge Report, it was on Yahoo News, and it was on AP. AP News carried it as well. And so they have the report showing it. They have the report showing that it's completely gone. It has dumbfounded the doctors. They have no reasoning for it. And the man who was healed says it came because God is good, and his prayers and the prayers of other people, he believes that. And so I believe right there we have a place where God has healed someone, and it's made national news. I love that. Thank you so much. I love that, and I think that is fantastic. But we have that not only, we have testimonies in our church. Miss Mary Killian, who is in Children's, oh, no, she's not in Children's Church. I thought you were in Children's Church this morning. Your testimony is fantastic. Would you be willing to share that this morning?
I was diagnosed with cancer. Hadn't felt good for probably a year or better. Had to keep bugging the doctor if something's not right here. And eventually, they figured out what it was. By that time, I had a tumor about the size of a baseball. So the initial thought was to treat it aggressively with chemo and radiation, attempt to shrink it, and eventually have surgery. And everything went pretty much as course. I'm a nurse, so I kind of knew what to expect. Didn't know fully because it was quite a learning experience, but I kind of knew. I was a little bit new to the teaching of healing. I thought it was pretty much hands-on. This is how it was done. I didn't know it could happen other ways, so I kept waiting for the right person to do that, but I believed. I 100% believed. I did know by the stripes we are healed. I eventually learned we were healed, and I knew it was a done deal, and then it took a turn on my path down the road as I partway through. But anyway, treatment, I was sick, very, very, very ill, and radiation made me exhausted, but the chemo made me very sick. And no one quite knew why, and the labs became way, way off. And eventually, one of the doctors, not even the doctor that was giving me the chemo, realized there was something seriously wrong, and they looked at the dose of chemo I was getting. Each person has calculated their own specific dose. Mine was wrong. Mine was majorly more than anybody had ever received, and I had received 4 of them. They had determined I would die. I didn't know that. I was so sick when he sat me down to tell me. I didn't hear him. I didn't understand him, which was a good thing because I didn't need to know that at the time. He offered the option of still having a blood transfusion because that had been on the table for a long time, and I had put it off. I had come to peace with, I wanted to go forward with that when he asked, so it was the perfect time for him to ask. I had just kind of hesitated. It was just one of those things I was weird about. And when I got to the hospital that morning, they attempted to take blood pressure. And they couldn't find one. They repeated that multiple times. They kept coming back in and looking at me and redoing it. I often wondered why there wasn't a whole herd of people because I didn't realize they all thought I was going to die and this was it. So no one came but this one poor young nurse that they kept sending back in over and over and over. She eventually looked at me and said, I think I got a reading. And I asked what it was and she kind of came up with a couple numbers. I'm wondering if she just grabbed 2 numbers out of the air and started the transfusion because she just was at a loss on what else to do. By the end of the transfusion, I actually had a blood pressure again, but without a blood pressure that long, I shouldn't have been alive. That indicates as a nurse to me, that's one of the first telltale signs that somebody's gone. And I was alive and talking. So I've only had one patient that I can remember that was alive and talking when I took their blood pressure, and it was only for about 2 more minutes. So it was a healing. But I really didn't know because I was still quite sick. And it was later when the doctors actually told me that one, that doctor that actually discovered it told me that the doctor anticipated that I would die, and I actually found out I would die. But I began recovery after that. That was when I realized healing was a done deal, and I began to walk out my healing. I began to get up. I began to do more things, even if it was only to wash one dish. I began to move more. I quit sitting in the chair waiting and took action. And I am completely healed. I watched the rest of my children grow up. I've seen 9 grandchildren come into the world. And it is amazing to still be alive every day. I am thankful.
Amen. Thank you for sharing your story, Miss Mary. And that was well before our church was in existence. And I'm so thankful for the ministry Pastor Tim and Nadine Norland were there and teaching this message in Wisconsin and in that area. And see, what we hear this story, but there's also a backstory of the people who were there, who stood in faith and in agreement and were faithful to teach the word that was coming across. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. There's no such thing as a blessing that comes to you that is just you. There's no such thing. It's all interlinked. It's all more than you. And this is why I get upset with this statement. I've heard this be like, don't worry about me. This is just my life. I'll do whatever I want. You just worry about you. Or I've heard it this way. You just do you and I'll do me. No, we are all interlinked. Your life does affect mine. Your life does affect this world. Your life does affect your community and your area. When you do what you're called to do, you may never know who you influence, who influences someone else that brings healing, that brings the word of God to a whole different city or takes someone else to a whole different level simply because you were faithful to do what you were called to do. But we read, we talked about God bore our sicknesses. That's in Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 5, that he was bruised, that by his stripes we were healed. And then we got Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, why is it important that Christ was made a curse for us? Because of the curse of the law. The Bible says all sickness and disease comes from the curse of the law. But we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? Because Jesus was made a curse for us. Genesis 24:1 says, and Abraham was old, well stricken in age. In other words, he was very old. I always say this when they were 2 years younger than Jesus. Abraham was older than Jesus. He was very, very old in the natural sense. Jesus is eternity. No emails on that one, okay? And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. I want to tell you something. God wants to bless you in all things. God wants to bless you in your health. God wants to bless you in your wealth. God wants to bless you in your relationships, friendships. Do you know it's important? I think it's very important for people to have friendships and connections. I do not believe you are made an island unto yourself. You may be a recluse. You may like to be by yourself. That's okay. I like to be by myself sometimes. There are times that I think children need to leave me alone. I think Jesse never needs to leave me alone, but other people need to leave me alone, and I just need to have a moment to breathe, to think, and to be by myself. So I get that aspect, but we need people in our lives. God brings the family together. When we're our church, why? Because we have been redeemed, we have been made righteous, and our relationship with God and his body has been restored. We have 3 R's: redemption, righteousness, relationships. Our relationships have been restored. And the great thing about the power of God is your relationships don't have to be like the world's relationships. Most of the world's relationship is where we get the word phileo, right? Brotherly love. I love you. You love me. We're all a part of a big family. Thank you. Thank you. A couple jokes. But as long as you do something right for me, I will continue to do something right for you. The moment you tick me off, we're no longer friends. I am done with you. You're done with me. We have a lot of hand signals that go up, a lot of words that exchange, and no longer do we care or want to be a part of each other. But then we have the word agape, the God kind of love. I love you no matter what decision you make. I may not allow what you're doing to come into my household. I may not allow what you're doing to affect my life or my family, but I love you. I'm always going to love you. You're not going to change that. I'll always have your best interest in my heart. I will always want to see you prosper and do well. I'm not going to key your car. I'm not going to put, make a fake Facebook account or social media account and say nasty things about you or your business. I'm not going to do that. That's not who we are. The world may do things that way. You may have thought about things that way, but you don't act on things that way. Hello? Because you have been redeemed from the old man. That person is dead. That kind of mentality is dead. It may be alive and well in the world. It may have been who you used to be. Let me rephrase that. Because who you used to be, see, you were created for a purpose. You were created by God for a purpose. You had a destiny before the foundation of the world. Now, what happened was that destiny got polluted. That destiny got messed up. You were created for good things. This is why I don't like the statement, we're sinners saved by grace. No. You were a saint of God before sin ever came into the world. See, we think, this is what I got to do. We just got to break some things down. This is going to be a little crazy, but stick with me. And I think I will somewhat make it plain. If I don't make it plain, then just walk out of here and ask God to help you. But this is it. See, we had this perfect deal. This is who you were. You were created perfect before sin ever entered into the world. Now, there is no time with God. Can we understand that? I mean, maybe not like, you know, get it. Do you understand? Okay, there are things we understand that we don't understand. We get the benefit of it. How many people understand that when I crank my car up and drive here, I can get from A to B? I understand that, but I may not understand the pistons. I may not understand how the gas is in the engine, what's the difference between a V4, V6, and a V8. You may not understand any of that. You may not understand fuel injection. You may not understand any of it. Some of you may have thought it was, why is this little teapot light turning on in my car? Is it time for tea? No, that's the oil. You know, you got to change that every once in a while. You may not understand the mechanics, but you get the benefit of what it does. And so you may not understand, you know, fully be able to get the fact that there's no time with God, that He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. This is what's beautiful. You can pray today about something that you needed. Maybe let's just say land or a home or an orphanage that needs to be put up, and you're praying about these kids and in whatever country it is, and then all of a sudden you're praying today, but 50 years ago, God goes back in time. Sorry, the theme music for Back in Time just hit my head. And then all of a sudden put something into action 50 years ago that manifests today because you prayed today. But God can reach back into the past and cause something to begin to operate to get you where you need to be today. But it started before you were ever born. Because God knew you were going to pray it. There's no time of God. It's just, God says He's the wheel within the wheel, which spokes going back into the time, the past, the present, and the future. Oh, that's enough to just call your ringer. You get it, but you don't get it because we don't live that way. We don't live that way. We live with time restraints. We live right now, but God lives in a forever time. There's no time. Okay, so anyway, where was I going? Anyone know? Huh? Healing. Saved by grace. Okay. Oh, yes, that's where I was going. Thank you. And so, before the beginning of time, you were made perfect. You were made perfect. Let's just look at it this way. You're in a house and sunlight is shining through and you stand in the sunlight. I drink coffee in a certain part of my house that I open the blinds and the sun hits me in the face. I can't see anything else. I just hold my coffee and I drink it. If it's a perfect day, the kids aren't awake. I'm just sitting there and I'm drinking. I'm holding that warm cup and the sun is blinding me. And I love it. And I even remember my mother was visiting and she's like, do you want me to close the blinds? And she closed the blinds. I'm like, no, actually, I want them open. This is my morning ritual. This is what I do in the morning. And that sun. So basically what you were was the glory of God shining on you, brightening you up. You're lit up like the 4th of July. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes in. Don't you ever compare my mama to the enemy. That's not what I'm doing. But the enemy will come in and say, let's close the blind. Let's close the blind. And then we'll get you to believe that you were darkness the whole time, that you never shined from the inside out, that you never were created perfect. He will create you to believe that you are fallen man. You will always be fallen. Your thought process will never change. You'll always have a bit of evil in you. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You were never created that way. You were created to be blessed. You were created to walk in the goodness of God. You were created perfect. The enemy come in and close the blinds on your connection to the Creator, to the one who shined the glory of God upon your life. So you were created perfect. The enemy cut off the light. Jesus came back into the house to open the blinds. So you were not evil. You may have walked outside of your calling, but you were created to be perfect. You were created to walk in His goodness. You were created for His very glory. And so you were not a sinner saved by grace. I'm not saying you never sinned. Hello. I'm saying that God brought you back to the original intention of your design. He brought you back to what you were created for, which was to reflect the glory of God. In this place, we're just a bunch of mirrors. We're just a bunch of lanterns. The light is on the inside shining out, causing us to be who God has created us to be. Can I tell you something too? You know, we get into this mentality and we're like, oh, God's going to change. No. You're coming into your original design. See, you already believed a lie that you wouldn't this way. God is bringing you back saying, look, you were created for this. This was my purpose for you from the beginning. All that happened was you didn't see the glory. You believed the lie of the world for so long. And we were created for the glory. So that's why I don't like the statement, a sinner saved by grace. I recognize that we've all sinned. I recognize that it's the grace of God that brought us to the place we are. But you were created to be here the whole time. You were created for this purpose. Have you ever used something that was never meant to be used the way it was? Every time I work on something, I always think, man, if I just had the right tools. I'll give you an instance. I have not taken a tire off of a rim in a very long time. It's been a long time since I've had to take a tire off a rim. Now, I needed to replace the tires on my lawnmower. And what I needed was some pry bars. I needed some nice, thin pry bars, flat at the end, but not too flat, but enough to do the job. I didn't have any. I went to a store to get some. They didn't have any. And I thought, well, you know, I got some big old pry bars that are made for siding, that are made for other things. And I used them. I finally got it to work, but it was a lot more work than it should have been. And a lot of people get involved in the things of God, and they believe it has to be done a certain way. They believe it has to be done in religion. And religion will always be harder to get to the place you need to get. With religion, it will always be harder to get the healing in your body that you need. It will always be harder to stand in the place that you need to stand in. It will always be harder. Why? Because you're trying to use tools that were never meant or designed to get you to the place that you're trying to get to. And only by the grace of God will you get there to begin with. But it's easier if we just use the tools He already gave us. Redemption, righteousness, and relationship. And just accept the gifts that He has already given. Healing's going to be much harder when you try to do it yourself. You know, my mother, most of you know her story. She was diagnosed with cancer. She's cancer-free today. I forgot how many years, but quite a few years. 6, 7, 8 years, somewhere up in there. I don't know. Nine years? No. Wait, yes, because she was diagnosed with cancer right before me and Jesse were married, so it is 9 years. And so in this, 9 years free. Now, I told my mother very clearly, I said, I know what's going to happen, honey. God spoke to you. He moved on your heart to do some certain things. And if you're like anybody else in the body of Christ, you're going to package this up, tell everybody to do what you do, tell everybody to eat like you ate, to get rid of the sugar that you got rid of, the candy that you got rid of, and get very healthy the way you got healthy. But that's not the answer for everybody. The answer, Mom, is what you got to see, is that God spoke to your heart. You obeyed the Lord, and you had your own path. And everybody's path is different. I've told you this story many times. There was a pastor who God told him, quit drinking coffee. He told me to quit drinking coffee. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. That is not of the Lord. And so, but God, you know, your body acts different to different things. And so God may have you stop drinking coffee, but you can't start the church of the first no coffee. You can't do that. Why? Because that's personal. The deal is obedience. Being obedient to hear the voice of God. How many times did God tell a group of people to walk around a wall, shout, and then the walls fell down? How many times did that happen in the Bible? One, but how many times have Pentecostals done that? A lot more than we can count. I was part of a church that we marched. We marched and we shouted and God moved. Thank God God meets us where we are. But we're imitating an outward appearance instead of the obedience that God spoke to the heart. We will imitate the holiness that we see in other people instead of having a relationship with God for ourselves. We will see all the laws, the do's and the don'ts, and we will do the do's and we will try to stay away from the don'ts and believe that will bring us closer to God when that has nothing to do with our relationship with God. And we will try to imitate what a person has done to get the same results when we have to imitate the obedience that God has spoken to us. Oh, I feel like we could already go home. Thank you for no one saying amen on that one. All right. Let's look here. We've said a lot of things the last two Sundays on the subject of healing. But let's look at this. One of the ways that we need to get into healing is to draw near to God. Now, we said there's a difference between a miracle and a healing. Instantaneous is a miracle. A healing normally is a process that we listen to God, we obey, we walk that out, and God brings us into the place we're supposed to be. And what happens is the church has believed that healing should come as a miracle. And because when people don't, you know, they get prayed for, oh, I wanted to mess your hair up real bad. But, you know, you've seen this in churches. Oh, children are in a different service. I just can grab their head and be healed. Spit on them. You know, all the stuff that people have done. Jesus only spit on one person that we have record of. But yet we got people in the spitting ministry. I'm going to spit on your eyes. God will heal you right now. Disgusting. But, you know, whatever God does. All right. But, you know, a lot of people want to do the outward appearance when it's just the obedience in the first place. And so we need to draw near to God. We need to have a relationship with Him. Psalm 73 and 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It is good for you to draw closer to God. Hebrews 7 and 19, "For the law made nothing perfect." The law made nothing perfect. And what do we want in our, if you're like me, See, I like regulations. I was raised with a military-style family. I didn't have to guess what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to do. And, you know, I never had to think. I was told. And my answer was, yes, sir. Get up, do this. Yes, sir. Get up. Yes, sir. Even to the point, y'all know this, my father, some of you know this, my father would rattle his glass. When the ice would rattle, that meant, Tim, get up and get me another glass of tea. Take my glass, go fill it up. And I remember one day I said, Dad, when I get older, when I have kids, I'm going to make them slaves just like you made me. Just like you made us slaves. You know what my father said? He didn't even deny it. He just looked at me and said, and when you have kids, you can. That was a statement. He's like, when you have kids, do whatever you want. Your decision. I still haven't taught mine to fill me up a glass of tea, but I have taught mine to go get me a Coke Zero. That's progress in the right direction. But the law made nothing perfect. But if you were like me, you're looking for the law. You want the law. The law's easier in our own mentality because if it doesn't work, we can go back to a rule or regulation. If there's a failure, we can point to something. I believe this is the reason why we want priests in our lives, that we would like to go back to the Old Testament so that we know we can be screw-ups, go to someone and kill something, the blood is shed, and then we're okay for a little while, and it takes the responsibility off of us and puts it on someone else. But it's harder when the responsibility is on us because when the problem, our first reaction as a human is to blame someone else. But we come to a place with the body of Christ The relationship relies on us to draw near. And it can't be my wife's fault. It can't be my kid's fault. It can't be my job's fault. It can't be all the priest didn't do the, you know, I could, he didn't kill the dove right. Or I didn't have enough money to buy the oxen. I didn't have enough money to get the right redemption. And it's so much easier to be able to blame on other people. And I see this in relationships that we have. It's so much easier if we can blame somebody for why something didn't work out, why a job didn't work out. You know, I told you this. I had somebody in my life one time say, I got fired because, and I don't know why I didn't do anything. And, of course, my first reaction to them is, that's why you got fired. You didn't do anything. Wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything. We want to blame others for problems that happen. And I'm not saying everything is your fault, but I'm saying your relationship with God is not up to your pastor. It's not up to me for your relationship to be good with God. It's not up to your kids. It's not up to your wife. Well, Lord, look at this, Adam and Eve. If the woman that you gave me, Lord, if you wouldn't have gave her to me, my relationship with you would have been fine, but it's your fault, Jesus. It's your fault, Creator. And then God goes to Eve, it's the snake. It's that snake you gave me named Adam. You thought she was talking about their snake. No, she's talking about, no, I'm just kidding. She was talking about the snake. And she's blaming someone else. It's human nature to begin to blame other people. Now look, everything that goes wrong in your life is not going to be your fault. It's not going to be your fault. There are things that happen that you have no control over. And sometimes people are mean, nasty, and rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. It happens. And they bring you to some bad places in your life. And you had nothing to do with it. Sometimes your job downsizes and you have no options. But the good news is you've invested in a Savior who knew this was coming. So there's always options and dividends to be paid out. And so we trust the Lord and lean not into our own understanding, but we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He is the one. He is the one that directs my path. See, this is what needs to happen. We need to come to the point. We are His children. We hear His voice. The Bible says, He is my shepherd. I am His sheep, and I will not hear another voice. That means other voices will pop up. Other voices will tell me that I'm doing things wrong. Other voices will tell me that I need this or need that or need to do this or need to do that. The world, television, all this stuff, my best friend will speak into my ears and tell me certain things. I remember I worked at a bank here in Madison, right? And I always enjoyed my breaks. But you could always hear people talking. And I will never forget this one woman who had a friendship with another woman in the bank. And she was telling about her marriage and all this that was going wrong. And her advice to her was, honey, you deserve better than this. You just pack your crap and you get out of there. You just get out of there. Leave your kids. Let him take care of the kids for a while. Let him see how much you do in that home. And I'm like, ooh, please don't follow that. Please don't. I mean, you can have real conversations. There's answers to these problems, but the world will just, boom, get up and go. The world, what do? We protest everything. We all leave, and I'm not saying there's not a time to protest or do certain things of that nature, but that should not be our go-to thing. We should have thoughts, ideas from heaven to get these things fixed. That we don't have to put all of society down to a crawl and affect them to get answers. We should have God ideas to fulfill what God has called us to do. And it should not be mob mentality, let's bust a few heads and get things right. Dr. King was very, very much into this through actions, through love. Hello? Didn't have to shoot. Didn't have to have baseball bats, didn't have to have the dogs, didn't have to do all this stuff. He did it in love, and He changed the world. Thank you for that strong amen. But we need to draw near to God. And something else I wanted to bring out here before I got into that. The people who hung out with Jesus, I love this. He had a tax collector with him, an IRS agent. Jesus hung out. What point did I have with that? Nothing. I just wanted to bring it out. Jesus had a tax collector with him, Matthew. He was an IRS agent. Probably wasn't very popular. I probably would have made a lot of jokes if I hung out with Matthew. Probably would have tried to burn him once or twice. Not like literally burn him. You know what I mean. Yes, thank you. Roast him. That's probably a better statement. And then we got Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer, right? He worked for government. Jesus had some government workers. He had people that owned their own business with him. He had a whole group of people with him of different backgrounds. So I want to tell you something. Whether you work for the IRS or you flip burgers or you run your own business, it's possible for you to draw near to God. I don't have enough influence, or I have so much I have to do that I don't have time to do. You know, I even heard this, and I'm not against this. There are people, I just may not fully understand, but they offer their services to pray for businesses. You pay them, they'll pray. If they get a word, they'll tell it to you. I've seen these businesses. It's very interesting to me. I don't get it, but it's very interesting. And so, you know, there's things out there like that. Hey, I don't have time to put in the time, so I'm going to pay you to do it. Well, you need to have a relationship. You can be busy, but you need a relationship with the Lord by yourself. You're never going to be able to hire that out. You can't hire out your relationship with God. You must. Now, I will be very clear. There's times in my prayer life that something was so much on me, I couldn't shake it, so I've called other people. Help me pray. I have called people on the phone or through Skype or through some kind of FaceTime or something along that line and prayed with people to help get to the other side because it was so heavy on my soul and I wanted to put 1,000 in flight, two will put 10. So I'm not saying that you never need help. I'm just saying it will never take the place of your relationship. Because this is what happens. When you begin to rely on other people for your relationship, you'll always be lost. You'll always feel like you're not enough. You'll always feel like you don't measure up. You'll always feel like I can't do this on my own. And can I tell you something? First of all, you need to recognize you are not on your own. If God be for you, who can be against you? You are never, ever on your own. And so we need, like I said, to draw near to God. The law has made nothing perfect. Hebrews 10 and 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You can draw near to God, and it's not because of you have a spotless past. It's because you're going back to your original creation. You're going back to your original purpose, which is to have a relationship with the Lord, which is to be a carrier of the gospel, a carrier of the glory of the Lord. If you can't look yourself in the mirror and say, you are a carrier of God's glory, then you don't understand yourself well enough. You don't understand your purpose. You don't understand why you were created. There's people who can't look at themselves in the mirror and say good things about themselves. I can say good things about myself. My wife can testify. It's been a while. But I remember she said, I don't know anybody who talks about themselves as much as you do by yourself. And my statement to her, this was my statement to her, if you would start, I wouldn't have to. Blaming other people. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, y'all don't clap that. You're encouraging her. Y'all don't encourage that. I'll just get more of it at home. You know, I do. I'm so thankful for her, and I'm so thankful for my relationship with her because it does, life is fun, and it should be. It should be. But Matthew 5 and 6 tells us that when they saw Jesus from afar, that they ran to him and worshiped him. When we get in the presence of God, it should just be a natural thing for us to worship the Lord. It should be a part of our life that we just worship the Lord. It should be a part of who we are. We need to begin to steal titles from books and all this good stuff, practicing the presence of the Lord. We need to practice it that it becomes second nature to us. Can I tell you something? I remember in the beginning of the Word of Faith message, I used to have confessions that I confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed, and then it just came a part of my life. And I haven't looked at those confessions in a long time, but I still confess God's word over me. In the beginning, it's mechanical, at least for me. I can only share my experience. In the beginning, for me, it was very mechanical. It was written out because I work well mechanically. I work well A, B, C, D. I work well and do this, get this result. I like that. And so, but it must become a way of life for us. And when we worship the Lord and we acknowledge Him in all our ways, then it just becomes natural. In the beginning, we may need to set our clock. We may need to set our timer to go off every so many minutes. Oh, I need to worship the Lord. And you worship the Lord. But then it just becomes a way of life that you just begin to worship Him all day. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this morning. I thank You. Or maybe you're like me with the coffee. You have a place where you sit with your coffee and the light hits you in the face. And you just sit there and you think, Lord, I'm so thankful. Thank You. You know, God, You knew how much I would love this, and You caused this spot right here in the house to face perfectly for me. I didn't plan this. I didn't build this house. I had nothing to do with it, but You knew me well enough to bring me to a place that I would enjoy this spot right here. Thank You for being so thoughtful about things that I have never given a thought to. And you just begin to acknowledge Him in every area of your life, and it becomes a way that you just live in the future. You begin to acknowledge Him in all the good that He does. Because see, your focus changes. I remember an article called The Luck Factor that was turned out by People Magazine. It was in, either was in the early 2000s or the late 1990s. And it talked about the way people focus. If they thought they were lucky, they would always see the positive even in bad situations. But if they thought they were unlucky, they would always see the problems even in the good things. Just won the lottery. Oh man, I'm going into a new tax bracket. I won $1.5 million. Oh, how much am I going to have to pay in tax? How much am I really getting? I'm probably only getting like $700,000. It's ridiculous. You know, Debbie Downers. Sorry if your name's Debbie. But they always see the problem, even in the good. And then they interviewed a lady who got in a car wreck and broke her arm, and she believed that she was naturally lucky. And they said, well, how do you explain this? She says, all I did was break my arm. It could have been much worse. Why? Because she was focused on the positive. When you're focused on God, you're going to see God in everything. When the storm comes, you'll thank Him that He's your solid rock that held you there when the winds blew and the waves crashed at your feet. You acknowledge the person who kept you where you needed to be. And so as we draw near to God, we will begin to recognize Him in everything. We'll begin to recognize Him even when things don't turn out like they should. Even when there's an enemy fighting against us, we'll see God through the storm. But if you're not drawing near to Him, you'll notice every wave. You'll begin to name every wave. This is the wave of August the 15th. This is the wave that hit me on August the 21st. This is the wave that came right after that. They come in threes, Pastor. They come in threes. And you'll name all of them. You'll rehearse what happened to you. But when you draw near to God, you'll say, look how God brought me through this. I faced this problem, and God got me through it, and this is how He got me through it. He hooked me up with the right person. I didn't even know I needed their help, and they came at the right time. God connected me to an IRS agent that helped me get out of this mess. Somebody I normally would run from, God brought me to, had nothing in common with them. God brought me to them, and that was a very key that opened up the floodgates for my blessing to come through. So we draw near to God. That was point one. Point two, discover your gifts and develop them. As we discover our gifts and begin to develop them, 1 Corinthians 12. I would encourage you to read all of 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just say this. If I ask you, what's your gift, and you say, I don't have one, sorry, you don't know the Lord. You know Him, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to take this out that I have no relation. No, you have a gift. God never created a person that He did not give gifts. And multiple gifts, not just one gift, but multiple gifts. God has given you gifts. This week, read all of 1 Corinthians 12. But I'm going to go through 14 through 18. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not the body? Is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Let me tell you something. If you think that I'm the most important part of this church body, you are so wrong. We would never have this service today if it wasn't for the people who show up at 7 a.m. to set up. And then we wouldn't have the services we have if the prayers wouldn't get here at the time that they do and pray over the seats and over the service and over the equipment and all that we do. We wouldn't have this, and you wouldn't be able to sit here, parents, without a kid wanting snacks and bothering you if we didn't have nursery and children's church. But can I tell you something? This is, we're not just babysitting your kids so you can hear the Word of God. We're putting the Word of God on the inside of them. And training that there is no junior Holy Spirit, the way Jesse says it. There's no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us and quickens our mortal body. But I would even take it a step further. The same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you and quickens your mortal body is the same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of every one of our kids and quickens their mortal body as well. But if the body said, well, because I'm not the pastor, I don't do. Do you know what? How many of you came here because I invited you? Not one hand. How many of you came here because someone else invited you or told you about the service? That's the majority of you. That's the majority of you. It's not because of me. This church has grown not because of my giftings, but because of the giftings that are placed inside this church. And if you would look and say, well, because I don't play the music, or I don't sing, or I don't preach like pastor, then I'm not a part of this. No, you are valuable. The best stuff that is done in this church is done behind closed doors and is never seen. And most people never get any praise for what it is they do. Miss Mary, who's the head of the nursery, I'm sure there are parents who have thanked you, but not enough people have ever thanked you for the service that you do. Pastor Tim and Nadine Norland, they run the Sunday school with the kids in the morning, and they don't get enough thank yous. Every department doesn't get enough thank yous. And because, you know, they, what if they said, I'm not even a part of the body. I don't do what. We have to have your gifting. Our church is a better church because you're here. If you're supposed to be here and you know from the Lord that you're supposed to be here, we're better off with you. We're better off with you serving right where you are. You are part of the body. Never believe the lie of the enemy to say, well, I'm not important. I'm not out front. So therefore, my gifting doesn't matter. We have to discover our giftings. There are people who absolutely love working in the sound booth who do a great job. And then some of you, that would be your worst fear, your nightmare, to be surrounded by that kind of electronics. Some of you, it would be your worst nightmare to volunteer in the children's church and preach a message to kids. If you think preaching to you is tough, try preaching to children. Because if you do a bad job there, they'll let you know. Kids, they say that there's two people who always tell 100% the truth. Children and drunk people. They say there's no filter. They just tell you the way it is. And so if you make a mistake in children, they'll let you know. You say the wrong thing with children, they'll let you know. And they'll bring it up years later. They're good at it. Some of you are thinking of family members right now. But we need to see our giftings, recognize, and please read all of 1 Corinthians 12. It is so good. But I want to go to Romans 12 and 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. There are many giftings. There are so many giftings in the body of Christ. And I've said this, 2019 is going to be a year, and we're already going to start it. We're not going to wait till then, but this is a year of operating in the gifts that God has called you to. This is a year of operating in the giftings that God has placed in your heart and into your life. This is a year that we will see those gifts operate and work. We will see the body lay hands on the body and they be healed. This is going to be a very slim year. If you're, you know, Mary talked about in her testimony that she was waiting for somebody to lay hands on her, pray for her, and healing come to her body. If you're waiting for me to lay hands on you, this is going to be a slim year for you. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it, but I'm just telling you it's going to be slim. Why? Because the body is going to begin to heal itself the way God created the body to operate. Do you know your natural body is created to heal itself? Now, it needs help. There's times that we need to do some things to bring in things. So I'm not saying, you know, let's just be holistic. Hey, I'm thankful for both worlds. I had a kidney stone, and they gave me morphine. I love that stuff. I'm going to tell you, that stopped the pain in its tracks. I remember, let me just tell you this story. This is hysterical. I thought this was super, super funny. The doctor shot that in my arm, and I just remember when it hit the bloodstream. I was like, woo, pain is subsiding. This is nice. I even remember thinking, I can understand why people are addicted to this. I can understand. I remember. That's why I don't do drugs. I remember thinking this. And then the doctor asked me a question. I answered him. And then he was still looking at me weird. And I'm like, why is he looking at me? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I answered him in my mind. I never said it out loud with my mouth. And then I remember thinking very hard to say it out loud. And then I answered him, and then he went on. And I just remember, I was thankful that the pain died in its tracks. So I don't want you to be like, Pastor, is all this. No. I'm very thankful for both sides. I'm thankful for the holistic, because I don't want to be drugged out of my mind 24/7. And I'm thankful for the medication that knocks the pain out instantly when I need it. And I'm thankful for all the knowledge the doctors have. I'm thankful for vitamin E. I'm thankful for all this stuff that works together as it should. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for our own body that has white blood cells that fight off diseases. Can I tell you something? When something happens in our bodies, I believe the person next to you should be able to lay hands on you, pray, command healing into your body, agree their faith with yours. Thank you, Father, that they are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. All sickness and disease, according to Deuteronomy 28, is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. So I thank you, Father, that you're moving in their body right now in Jesus' name. We praise you for healing in their body. And I shouldn't be the one to have to pray for you. I shouldn't be the one, not that I can't, but I shouldn't have to be. And in the church, there's been a mentality that I've had to be. You got to go to the pastor. No. The same power that works in me works in you. The same giftings that God gave me giftings, God gave you giftings. Less as a body begin to operate in our gift. There should be, as much as I would be an awesome rock star pastor, I shouldn't be one. Shouldn't just all hang on me. It should be every member of the body functioning in their calling and the body benefiting because you are here. Look at your neighbor and say, our church is better because you're here. Find another person. Tell them just in case you didn't like the person you told that to. Some of you actually started turning. I like that. I was talking to my spouse. I don't even know if I'll turn to somebody else. All right, I like that. Y'all are awesome. And so we all have giftings. I remember there was a time in my family, and Jesse's the one that pointed out, because, you know, my genius, I'm so smart in the body of Christ and the way things work, that it took my wife pointing it out. There was a time in our family that our kids were getting sick every Saturday night. Like clockwork. One of them would puke. And then I'd have to be up all night long cleaning sheets, getting kids ready. And then they want to come sleep with you, and they kick you in the face. They smack you. I had an ankle, not an ankle, a heel right there in my face. Bust me right in my mouth. I'm like, how did you eat? Her head was toward my head. And then I woke up with a foot in my face. I'm like, how do you even do that? How do you even turn in the night like that? I don't even know. And then, you know, they would lay normal, and then we'd wake up, feet would be my ribs, head would be on Jesse. Or if it was one of them, I won't name their names because they've asked me to stop saying their names out loud in services. But she wanted to put her head in my throat. And I'd wake up and hair would be in my nose. And I'm like, what's your deal? What is your deal? Get off me. Crazy person. But there was a time in our family that it was like clockwork every Saturday. One of them was getting sick. Throwing us off for Sunday, and I was feeling it Sunday morning. And Jessie told me, she said, Tim, this is not normal. This is not normal. I'm like, what's not normal? That our kids get sick like clockwork on a day of the week. This is not normal. This is an attack from the enemy. And not every sickness is attacked from the enemy. I don't want you to think that. But she said, this is attacked from the enemy. We got to take a stand. We got to pray. We got to believe God. So you know what I did? I called Linda Hahn, one of our prayers. And I said, Linda, pick this up in prayer. Take this to the kingdom. Take it to whoever you feel led to, but take this to the kingdom. We got to stop this. We got to kill this in its track because I can't keep doing this every Sunday. And I said, you know, because I've noticed that this happens every Saturday night. I did. It's not lies. I noticed. It was just had to be pointed out to me before I noticed. Someone said, the lies, lies, lies. It wasn't lies. It just took someone showing me. And I did see it after that. We'll have a conversation after service. And so in this, we took it before the Lord in prayer. That thing broke and we never had a problem with that like that again. And so we do need the body. We need this is why life groups are so important, is because this is where our relationship with the body. You know, we all of a sudden, I've heard this statement, church is done better in circles than in pews. Or we could say it this way, it's done better in circles than it is straight lines across. Why is that? Because in straight lines across, where do we find that out? We find that in our life groups. We find that in places like this, where relationships are built. And then all of a sudden, when we need help, we have a brother or sister to call on. Because our relationship by the body of Christ has been restored. But we have so many giftings in this body. Like I said, Mary Killian, Amy Jones, she watches our kids a lot of times for me and Jesse, so we are able to do certain things. That right there is huge. That right there is huge. And Amy loves it. It's a part of it. She even came to us. I just want to watch your kids. Is it okay that I watch your girl? Yes! Yes! In the name of Jesus, yes! Come over anytime you feel that calling on your life. You need that. She's like, I just love babies. I'm like, come over to the house during the week. We'll let you fulfill that call. Yes, Lord. And there's people who even love cleaning. I don't know how. I do not know how, but there are people who like that stuff. God bless you. And if you ever need to exercise that gifting, we have a home. I can bring you right in. But we have to begin to recognize our spiritual giftings. We have so many giftings in this church, it's not even funny. And I believe you need an opportunity to flow in those giftings, so you need to be plugged into your local church. You need to be where God has called you. You need to fill out a volunteer form to get plugged in. If you're not volunteering and you know you're supposed to be, fill out a form. Get plugged in. Get where God needs you. We need the heart pumping. We need the blood flowing. We need the white blood cells doing what they do. We need people in the sound booth, children's church. We need people in graphic design, in the name of Jesus. We need that. We need people that are good at websites. We need all of this. Why? Because when you're in your spot, you make the church and the body of Christ better. I've got to end. Number three, which I'm leading into, do something. Do something. I want to point something out. You never end where you started off. You never end where you start off. I remember I volunteered for Mark Brzee's ministry, and their offices were right next to a bunch of other offices. And people would, not from Mark Brzee's ministries, but from the ministries, the other businesses next door, they would smoke. And they'd go outside to smoke, and they'd throw the cigarette butts down on the ground, and the wind would blow and bring them into his parking lot. And it looks bad. It looks bad when you're a church or your ministry, and you got cigarette butts everywhere. And so one of my jobs was to pick up cigarette butts. And I'd go out, and I remember there was a pastor by the name of Norm Dubois. He is actually in South Florida now, and he has a church there. I forget the name of it. Jesse, help me. Norm Dubois. What's his church name in Florida? East Coast Believers. East Coast Believers. Great church, by the way. Awesome church. Love the church. He's amazing. But he would come out all the time and say, Tim, I started off doing exactly what you're doing. I'm so thankful that you're here doing this. We need this. And I'd take the vans. They had a bus ministry. I'd take the vans and wash them. I would go and do all these things. And I just want you to understand something. The quickest way to fulfill the call of God on your life is to help someone else fulfill the call of God on their life. Seed, time, and harvest. So when you get plugged in, I'm going to tell you, there's so many people who are doing what they're called to do in the church, but they're hooked up with something bigger than what they are, helping the church fulfill their vision, and they step into their vision at the very same time. They step into their calling at the very same time. They may have never even knew that's what they were after, People ask me, how do you become pastor? What should I do? What should I do for traveling ministry? What should I do? My answer is never what most people want to hear. I tell them, get involved in the children's church ministry. No. Do I need to get a 501c3? Do I need to hire a lawyer? How do I get this going? I always tell, volunteer. Get plugged in. That's where I started. You never end where you start. You get involved. You help someone fulfill the call of God on your life or on their life. And then your life begins to line up with what God does. Oh, let me just go back. Seed, time, harvest. God doesn't do anything that just blesses you. It always blesses others as well. And one way he does it is as you help the call of God on someone else's life or your church's life, you help the call of God fulfill there, your call becomes more clear. Your giftings begin to get used. And as your giftings begin to get used, you begin to fulfill the call of God on your life, which brings you joy, satisfaction, and closer relationship with the Lord, all because you were obedient to be a part of the body. It all comes from being obedient to the call of God and his word. Oh, can I get an amen? I got to end. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Then I'm going to read James 4 and 8, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 11 and 27 says, In these days come prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Bubba. Bubba. He should have been named Bubba. You can look up there and see his real name. And by the Holy Spirit, where are we at? You threw me off. Being great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Bubba. I'm just kidding. Barnabas and Saul. Now see, God sent relief through people. Something happened in the body of Christ, and the body that wasn't even in the same city, the body that probably wasn't even in the same area, all of a sudden sent relief to a body of the church, a functioning part of the church, was sent through the elder. Can I tell you something else? There's also a chain of command. There's also a way God does things, and he'll send things through to other places. And so, you know, I've had people say, what do I do? You get plugged in. Because as you're faithful, God is the one who promotes you. So many people want to start off at the top. And you may be flung into a position that you feel you're not called for. And that you're not even ready for. Or maybe you think, this is the time that God has called me. Whatever it is. But you never end where God started you. But you get plugged in. You put in your time. And God is faithful. Even if you felt like somebody's trying to hold you back, God is faithful to promote you and to bring you to the place that you're called to be. So get plugged in, get faithful. And this is my last thing I want to read, James 4 and 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's beautiful. How many religions will tell you that you have to beat yourself? I've been to some of the temples where people crawl on their knees until their knees are bloody, and they get these whips and they beat themselves until blood pours in the street because they try to make themselves holy. They try to make themselves closer to God through physical pain, and they're never ever promised that God will meet them. But you are promised through the blood of the Lamb. You are promised through the work of the cross that as you draw near to God, that God will draw near to you. And you may say, I don't even know how. But just start doing. Start reading. Start worshiping. Start do what you know to do. And God will meet you right where you are. And as you draw near to God, God says, I'm going to come down and draw near to you. Be obedient to get plugged into a local church. God says, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. We're closer to the second coming of Jesus than we've ever been. And he said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. We're supposed to be here together. We're supposed to fellowship together. We're supposed to be in our life groups together. That's being obedient. And as we're obedient to do so, when we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you.